Now, in this series, I'm going to say over and over and over and over, and a lot of this is as much for the internet world as it is our own personal congregation. I am going to teach you, because you need to know this, and I'm under conviction about something. I have been preached on God's blessings, tithing, giving, in over 3 years. You can tell it's not something that I'm comfortable with. But I have been under conviction about one thing. If I, as a pastor, do not teach you how to receive God's wonderful blessings, I am doing you the greatest disservice that I can do. And I will answer to God for this. I am going to teach you straight from the Bible. And this is not about money. This is about receiving God's blessings. And I want you to understand, we're going over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the difference between a tithe and an offering. We're going to talk about things like, how do I determine how much I give? The Bible is very specific about this subject. There is no guesswork. And I know some congregations get very uncomfortable with this because they're like, oh, Lord, here he is. He's got to talk about money and blah, blah, blah. I ain't got time to hear this nonsense. And I promise you, I understand that. Okay? But if you think it's nonsense, it's why you're in trouble. This is not nonsense. This is the secret to you being secure in one of the worst economies, one of the worst situations that this planet has seen in over 100 years. If God's people want to understand how to be secure in God's way, He tells you there is no guesswork, period. None about His plan. And I promise you, because you're going to see something that you'll only see in Scripture one place, where Jesus says, here's what I want you to do, improve me. Test me to see if I will do what I say I will do. It's the only place in God's Word that I know where He says, try me and see if I will do it. Let's look at it. For the land, money, whenever you are, friend. All right, Malachi, let me give you a little bit of a history lesson here before we get into this. Historically, this is a day and age, and we're a few years away from Christ being born. The Jews are back home in Israel. The temple's been rebuilt. But there is a real, how do I want to phrase this? A lack of revival, if you will. People are just going through the motions. Worshiping God doesn't seem to be a priority. People, you might say, are bored with the whole thing of God and worshiping God. Some of this generation has forgotten that God is the one that literally saved them and brought them out of bondage. Sometimes the way Satan affects us is he wants us to forget. He wants us to forget how good God has been to us in every situation in our life, whether you're young or whether you're old. And these people were just sort of blasé about everything. He chooses and calls out a man of God to come. And how he approaches this subject is he's going to accuse them of something, and you're going to see this in a minute. He's going to accuse them of robbing God. That, folks, is a very serious accusation. But I want you to see a man called out to question the people of Israel, the Jewish people. Now, keep in mind, the tithes at this time were a little different, and I will explain this because I really want to teach this to you. I want to make sure the people within the sound of my voice or those who well watch the internet understand what the history behind this scripture is. In this day and time, it wasn't so much monetary, what we call money, as it was possessions in this time in history. And it was supposed to be brought to the temple, and those who had more, they were expected to give more, and he's going to explain how that happens in a minute as we teach it. So if it was an animal, let's just say, you're supposed to bring. And the Old Testament teaching is, you bring your first fruits, the best animal. What would happen is, they'd go out in the field and find some kind of an animal that was already had 1 foot in the grave. I mean, the animal was practically dead. Couldn't even walk. They had to carry the blasted thing to the offering that, here, God, here's the best I got. I know it's that dead, but you know, it's an animal. Sometimes they would bring food from the harvest, the gardens. Now what they'd do sometimes, they would go out and get something that was just a bad day, fruit-wise. Take it off, because they won't throw it away anyway. So they bring this to God and lay it at the altar and say, "Here, God, here's my offering." Now I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't let nobody else eat it, but here's my offering. Now, you have to understand what they're doing is they're not giving God what we call first fruits. Number one, they're giving God what's left over. Now, this is the history behind this. Now, this will come alive to our generation today. You also have to understand this one thing about the temple and the church and how it was run in this day. This was also the social mecca of the times. In other words, when you were in need, you went to the temple. You went to church. If you were hungry, if you needed meat, sometimes if you were in need, this is where you went. So the people who had gave it to the church, and the church were distributed, if you will. Distributed. What's that mean? Dispute. Is that what it says? Distribute. Yeah, that's right. There's a difference between that and debuting somebody. We have debuted before, haven't we? Yeah, that's right. We've done that too. I'm just testing you out. I don't know the difference between the two people. Anyway, distribution. How's that, Miss Grovers? Does that sound good? Distribution. There we go. Now we're good. All right. And they would give this out to the people. Obviously, if what's coming in the church wasn't worth eating, they're not going to be able to give it out. Now today, obviously, the storehouse is a little different. We're going to look at this and we're going to walk you through. How do we as a church function today? And how does this approach us? Keep that in mind with the history lesson. Look what it says. Malachi writes, beginning in chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, when shall we return? Now look at through this, you're going to see a question and answer type deal. Malachi says, even from the days of your fathers, even from your parents, your grandparents, you have been running away from me for years. You haven't obeyed me in years. You haven't followed God's commandments in years. You see the picture? Over times. Over generations, you have not done what God has called you to do. Do you get that picture? Say amen. Alright. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, when shall we return? Malachi says, you need to return back to God. And they're like, oh, what's wrong with what we're doing? You're preaching, we would use the word rededicate. You would say, what do I need to rededicate? I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I'm holy most of the time. I'm righteous most of the time. You got a lot of nerve telling me what I need to do. I want you to see the attitude, okay? Because there's an attitude here among the people of this time in history. And the attitude is, you say there's something wrong with me, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with me. Now, the world we live in today, some 25 years later, the world is saying the same thing. Because we're preaching the gospel, and they're saying, what do I need the gospel for? Who's this Jesus? Why do I need Jesus? Jesus never done anything for me. You tell me something in a book, I don't know what the book. You get the same picture? It can be the same attitude among the people. He's saying here, before he even gets in to what they're really doing, he's saying, you need to return back to me. I want you to listen to me very, very closely. Before you truly understand what it is to give back to God, you've got to understand, you've got to be in a right relationship with God to even receive this. If you're lost, whether it's in this congregation or watching by internet, if you're lost, obviously, you're not expected to give anything to God. You don't even love God. You don't respect God. You don't care about His Son, Jesus Christ. So why in the world would you even care about what you give to him. You understand the picture? Once you become saved, once you accept Jesus Christ, once you've made him Lord of your life, and you want to be a Christian, and you want to live a Christian life, and as we sing, it is well with my soul. When we want that in our lives, that it is well with my soul, the only way for it to be well with my soul is for me to be in a well relationship with Jesus. Make sense so far? Say amen. Amen. If I got a back that's hurting, I don't go look at the heart. I go look at the back. My heart may be fine. I love it when you go into a doctor's office and you say, I got the sniffles. Well, they check out everything. And of course, I know I'm a heart patient, so the first thing they want to do is hear my heart. My heart's fine. I can't breathe. They want me to check my bag. Ask me if I've had this done. I'm in my 50s, so you know what they've asked me. You know, they want to talk about everything but the problem. Well, the same way a lot in Christian life. Sometimes not everything in our Christian walk is a problem. Sometimes maybe it's just one issue in our Christian life. Now, with this group of people, there was one main issue. The church and the temple in this time in history was receiving what they would call the tithe that was absolutely unacceptable to God. And God puts upon the heart of this preacher, puts upon the heart of this evangelist, puts the heart of this prophet to put it in some of the strongest language you will find anywhere. And when you see this in God's word, it means what? God means business. From this point on, word for word, I'm going to read it. I want you to see it. Because here's what this whole subject is about receiving God's ultimate blessing. Beginning with verse 8. Question mark. Will a man rob God? That's a pretty strong statement. Yet you have robbed me, God is saying. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. God says, you are robbing me. They're like, how? How am I robbing you, God? That's a lot of nerve on your part. Now, I want you to see something in God's word, because this tells you a lot about the personality of God. And this is this. When God doesn't mince words, you listen closely. Okay? Larry, is that going to be like this for very long? Think? Larry's concentrating on filming me. He doesn't see the scriptures left. But concentrate with me. He'll fix it. I got all the faith in the world in him. Now, listen closely. When God puts this strong language in here, these people are going to wake up. It's called a wake-up process. It's called a teaching process. When someone teaches you something and you learn it, it's a wake-up. You have insight to what it's about because it's been taught. If you're in nursing, someone had to teach you that. If you're in finance, someone had to teach you that. Whatever. If you're in pharmacy, someone had to teach that. If you're into typing, someone had to teach that. If you're in electricity, someone had to teach you that. You get the idea? Someone has to teach you in order for you to learn the skill and the process. What this is about is teaching these people and teaching us of today how to truly understand to receive God's blessing. And I promise you, I'll say this more than once in this series, you need God's blessings in 2013. Now, if I was to ask you, raise your hands, and don't do this, but if I say raise your hands if God's blessed you, everybody in here would raise their hands. Because that'd be pretty embarrassing in God's house to say, no, God ain't blessed me forever. I mean, look at who I'm married to, look at my kids. I mean, look at my preacher. How can I be blessed like that? They don't want to do that. Everybody would raise their hands and say, oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, well that's fine. That's wonderful that you acknowledge that. But let me tell you something, folks. The warning is going out all across this globe. And here's the warning. The blessing could stop today. And I'm going to show this to you in Scripture. Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation.
Wow. Now, we're talking to God's people here. This is not lost people. This is God's people. If you don't understand the teaching and get it right, you are cursed.
Wow.
Now, I've never taught this at such a level as I'm going to teach this to you, but this is serious business. Stay focused here a moment, because this is serious stuff. This is not my words, this is from God. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. God says, you robbed me. You didn't rob the church. Didn't rob the preacher. Didn't rob the mission board. This is personal. This is personal between you and God. This has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the church. This has everything to do with you and your relationship with God. Everybody with me on this? Amen.
Amen.
All right. Larry. Now, here's the formula. Let me walk through this with you. Bring all. You see this word here, all? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in whose house? Mine. God is speaking here. And I want you to look. This is the only place you'll find in Scripture. And prove me now. Test me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. I want you to look at this. And pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. I want you to focus on that a minute. I want you to see this word for word. And I'm going to walk you through it, word for word. I'm going to teach this to you. I don't want you to get mad. I don't want you to get aggravated. Because this is your formula for survival. You understand me? This is for your benefit, my benefit, everybody's benefit within the sound of my voice. This is how you need to understand the world we're heading to and what's heading. How do I survive? The only way to survive is with whose blessings? God's. Don't depend on this government. Listen to me close. Don't depend on this Congress. Don't depend on this Senate. Don't depend on the president. Don't depend on Social Security. Don't depend on anything. The only way that you're going to be secured in the truest blessings of God is when you obey His word. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, bring. Bring is a key word. Bring it where? Look at this. Bring all the tithes. Now, let me explain this word tithe. Because this is where a lot of people want to know. What do you mean? What is a tithe? In the Hebrew, it means tenth. Keep this in mind. 10%. This is where it's all at. Here is truly what God's word is saying. Bring all the tithe. All the tithe means is a tenth. If it's animals and food in the day, you bring in the best. The first fruits, as it will. Understand this, okay? Understand this. Bring all the tithes. Tithes is a tenth. Into the storehouse. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on this in a minute. Into the storehouse. The storehouse here is the temple. The storehouse today is what? The church. Now that's simple, folks. There's no great big debate over that. We all know God's storehouse today in the New Testament world is the church. Bring the tenth. Today we don't deal with animals and altars and food. We have a different world. Today the church operates off of monetary that's come into the church. Monetary means money. We all have to understand that. That's what it's about. It's not a business, but we all know without it, the church doors close. Without the monetary, the church doors close. That's just the way it is, folks. Understand that. The storehouse here is God's house. Why?
Look at the reason. That there may be meat in whose house? My house. Who does the tithe belong to? It belongs to God in His house. This is where the gospel is preached and taught. This is where souls are saved. This is where His message is proclaimed. The tithe is to keep the doors open, to keep the message going, because this is the way of God. This is not a suggestion. This is a demand. In my house. Now, here's where this thing gets real interesting to me. Improve me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Prove, test. Same word. And you'll know I can't find anywhere else in God's word where God says test me. If I will not open the windows of heaven, which windows of heaven? Blessings. And pour out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Whatever God does for you, He's going to do it in abundance. I promise you that. Listen to me very closely. He's going to do it in abundance because God loves you. But the truest test, though we can test God here, and here's what He says. When He says test it, try it, prove it. Now, if a tithe means a tenth, let me walk through this with you. It doesn't mean that God still doesn't own the other 90%. I want you to listen to me very closely. Because if I don't have the attitude that it all belongs to Him, I might as well just keep the 10th too. Because everything that I have, monetary, possessions, peace of mind, grace, it all comes from Him. I'm not saying you didn't work for it. I'm not saying that, you know, when you get a paycheck, it's got your name on it. But God's word says, I created you. It belongs to me. And if you'll follow my word, I will bless you. But if you don't, look out. It's like a test. If you don't study for a test, you're going to what?
Fail.
Fail. We all know that. So how do we study for a test? We study. We look at it. We memorize it. How do you pass the test of God? You read His word. This is straight out of His word. You're nobody making this up. This is not my philosophy. But this is a philosophy that Mark and I have followed for over 30 years. It comes to a point where we said, this is what we're going to do. Now, the number one reason, I'm going to go over next week the reasons why people have told me over 35 years why they don't tithe. Here's the number one reason. There's about 10 of these. Number one, I can't afford it. The number one reason that people tell me they don't tithe is because I can't afford it. At the very top of the list. They get in the calculator. They get into the checkbook. Math is the greatest tool that Satan loves. These are two things that motivate us. This is a checkbook. This is money. We work for it. We live for it. We die for it. This is it. This is what makes us exist. You might disagree with that. Now you might say, well, it's not all my life. Oh, let me tell you something. This is most of your life right here. This is how you function. I mean, you understand that, don't you? You think God doesn't know that? Because this $20 bill, wherever it came from, it really belongs to God. It really does. What's in here belongs to Him too. Because we're going to talk about a difference next week between a tithe and an offering, and there's a big difference. We're going to get an education to understand what this is about. These two things motivate everybody in life, period. Now, what Satan loves for you to do is to look at this, or look at my billfold and look at this, and to say God has the nerve to tell me He wants 10%. I think that takes a lot of nerve, and I think some people really look at that. Because I'm going to give what I can afford. And this is how Satan will work with you. I'm going to give what I can afford. God, take it and bless it. All that sounds good on the surface.
But that's not what this really says. He says, prove me. Test me.
People say I can't afford it. And I'll tell you why they say they can't afford it. It's because here's how they do it. I don't care how you get paid. Maybe you get a paycheck, maybe you get retirement, maybe you get Social Security. I don't care the amount of money that you draw. That is not the issue here. You can be on disabled and draw $500 a month, or you can work somewhere and make $200,000 a year. I don't care. God doesn't care either. If the formula is for the same, I don't care whether you're rich, or you're middle class, or you're lower class, or you're no class. Don't make no difference. This is not talking about rich and poor. Understand this, because people get this confused. They say, well, it's easy for a rich person to tithe. You know, Jesus really made a statement that he said, no, it's not. He said, it's a whole lot harder for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle. Because once I get to a point where I'm considered rich, I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that earned it. Now that I got it, ain't nobody else going to get it. This is not about class, rich, poor, middle class, upper class, no class. It doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. Here's the formula. And here's what people do. Because this says here, give me the tithe. Tithe is the first fruit. It means it's the first thing that you do. This is important. And I'm going to close with this. We're going to pick this up here next week. Listen to me closely. What people do, and I know that they do it because at one point in time, early in our married life, Monica and I figured out this is the way we were doing it. And then many, many years ago, within the first year of our marriage, we turned this around. What I do when I get paid, I start paying my bills. We all got it. Anybody here don't have no bills? I don't think so. You got it. I don't care what it is. It could be a mortgage. It could be a gas company, electric company, cable bill, insurance. You got to buy gas. You got to buy food. You got to have insurance. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. You got children that cost money. Alright? You gotta buy clothes. You gotta buy books. I mean, how much more depressing do I need to get? Have y'all figured that out so far? I mean, let me tell you something. It takes a lot to live today. I think everybody would say that, don't they? I absolutely takes a lot to live today. Now, what happens is, after I'm through paying the bills, what I got left over, that's what I'm going to give from. So if I make $1,000 a week and the time I pay my bills, I got $150 left over. A tenth of that is $15. I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I promise you, this is what's been told to me 1,000 times. Are you with me so far? Let me tell you something, folks. That's dangerous ground. People are paying the price for that thinking because that's not biblical. Monica and I's philosophy used to be we can't afford it. About 34 years ago, we changed it and we said we can't afford not
to. Amen.
Now that is a major change in philosophy. You keep playing games with God, people, with your checkbook and your money. You think hard times is coming because he's going to expect a lot out of this last generation living when he comes. And the lot he's going to expect is to follow God's word. Now, when you take a look, that he allows you to have 90%. If, and here's the big key when he says test this and prove this. If you want this 90% to go and to flourish, I promise you it will if you do the tithe. Of the 10%. If you don't worry about the 90% because I promise you there's not enough to go around. You don't do a calculator, you don't look at it on paper, because if you look at it through the calculator, look at it on paper, that's what you're going to say, I can't afford it. This is not what this is about, because when it ultimately comes down, here's what it's about. It's about what? Faith. He says, prove it. Trust me. Try it. Don't let Satan tell you can't afford it. You try and see if I will do something for you. I will bless you to the point that you won't be able to count. Now, believe it or not, though, some people, even though they tithe, I had a person come to me one time and said, I've been tithing for 6 months and now I'm more broke. That's good. That's a real attitude, isn't it? Because see, he's thinking it's all going to come back to him money. It may come back money, but it may come back another way. It may come back in health. It may come back in peace of mind. It may come back in joy. It may come back in money. And here's another thing that we're going to pick up here next week.
God's word says, and God is speaking to all of us, if he trusts you with a little and you honor him, what's the next step? He's going to trust you with more. When our kids were growing up, we gave them, obviously, we asked them to do things around the house. We gave them a little bit of money for doing that. When they were small, we didn't ask much out of them. They had to clean the car off and put a foot of snow. They had to do all the washing and do all the dusting, and for that we gave them 50 cents. Times were hard back then, guys. I'm joking, of course. When they're young, you can't expect much out of them. You start them off with doing little things, and we would call it reward them. As they got older, they could do more. Because they showed us they could do more. When you do more, the reward is what? More. That's real simple, isn't it, folks? I mean, didn't it take a rocket science to figure this out? The reason so many people struggle is because they haven't figured this out. Now listen to me closely. Listen to me very closely. God's not going to trust you with more when you won't do what you got. You won't honor him. You won't, because when it gets right down to it, if you're not obeying God's word, you're rotting. He's not going to bless that. Now, some of you may have looked ahead and looked at verse 11, but let me tell you, here's a major promise to God's people who obey him. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You see that? If you don't want Satan in the center of your home, if you don't want Satan to destroy everything that you attempt to do, you need the person in your home, in your presence, in your place that can defeat him. His promise is, and he says, to prove it to me. You show me you care about me. You show me you love me. You step out in faith. You give me the tithe that belongs to me. And you see if I will bless you in more ways than you can count. And the number one thing I'm going to do is run Satan completely out of your life. I think that deserves a hand. Because that's the only way Satan's going to run out of your life, in the life of your family, if someone's bigger than you that runs him off. God, he loves you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. But God plays by the rules. If we pick this up next week, we're going to take a look. There's some more rules here. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's your mindset. You understand? God is waiting to bless you beyond measure. You can't measure it. But is your heart right? And are you doing what you're supposed to do? It's nobody's business but yours. My job is to teach it to you. And to teach the world of you that you may be watching. This is what the secret is. It's the Bible. You need to learn it. You need to learn it fast. The faster you learn it, the more secure you'll be in the hands of God. That's his promise. Stand with me. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the most precious and holy name we pray. Father, we know that you are just waiting to bless God's people. But Father, we need to understand, blessings come with conditions. God wants to bless us. Give us, Father, so much that it would be overflowing. And he's saying to test us by bringing the tithe to the storehouse. Father, may we understand this teaching. There are testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of people who take this serious. And they're standing today because God has blessed them. And yet, Father, there are people, I'm talking about Christian people, all across this globe that are struggling and they can't seem to figure it out. It's simple. Put God first. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with my tithe. And the promise is, you'll never, ever go without your needs being met. This is God's holy promise. Father, touch our hearts. Teach us your word. And may we truly understand how much you care for us. Bless this time. Bless this invitation. to those who need a quiet time at the altar, as well as those, Father, who need to come. Maybe there's one here that's lost and needs to come to Jesus. Maybe there's something here you need to pray about. You come. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. Come, and we will receive you with open arms in this church. But whatever it is, may God bless you as you respond to His call. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Brother Larry, if you'll start the invitation, please. Would you come in the name of Jesus?